And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Notice a little more frenzy in the beasts these days? Birds zipping around, morning bird call, setting new decibel levels each day, strange looks from the neighborhood dogs? Well, it's that time of the year. It's spring. Hooray for us. Before you know it, summer will be whacking us with blistering rays. So make the most of it. As we launch Spring 2005 and the Wildside News 02, when we return, we'll tell you what's about to happen here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
It sure feels good to be alive. I know planet Earth is becoming a bit congested and depleted, but beyond that, things look pretty darn smart. I'm feeling the spring tonic in my clogged arteries. Life is good, particularly if you are part of this emerging modern age of wonders. There's lots to be thankful about. Like, remember the story of Pale Male and Lola? The legendary red-tailed hawks who got tossed out of their penthouse perch because of too much pedestrian poo? What's happened? We go to the source, following the news. Then we bring you one of the new millennium's most significant stories. You know, it's sometimes so frustrating watching as around the world, whole ecosystems are being ripped up for timber, oil, and minerals. And we hear the sad stories of simple people, subsistence and agrarian peoples, who are helpless to stop the destruction of their lands and forests and cultures as the takers take it all away. Well, there is a new take on this story from a brave man who has recently written a book entitled Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which, although being ignored by our good old American mainstream media, nevertheless is on the New York Times bestsellers list and numerous others. John Perkins, it's a name you will remember. We go in depth with John Perkins in segment 2 and 3 as we learn about the amazing true story of the men and women who run the global economy. This is a must listen. So let's spring ahead into the news, then on with today's show. So first, the news. With spring comes the annual migration of birds, butterflies, and bored students. Student migrations continue their upward spiral as they often fly south to warmer climes, while southern migrants, such as birds and butterflies, head north to the fresh new spring wonders. This spring, however, the great migrations will see the near disappearance of what once was a spectacle of spectacular dimensions, the annual monarch butterfly migrations. Reports coming from Mexico, where monarchs overwinter, tell of a dramatic, catastrophic decline in monarch butterfly populations. Estimates are that there has been a 75% decrease in butterflies over the previous year. Severe weather accounts for much of the decline, as storms hit Mexico and the U.S. at critical times for the winged wonders. Logging and pesticides add to the challenges monarchs face. Scientists worry that such a critical cut in populations could make it difficult for the species to come back. This summer, when you see a monarch, make a note of it. Point it out to your kids. For this spring and summer, wonder is at risk. Lots of news from the emerging war between the old energy barons and the new energy billionaires. New energy is officially considered an American value. According to a poll released by the Civil Society Institute, 66% of participants in a recent survey agreed that driving more energy-efficient vehicles is patriotic, as it would help to reduce the U.S. dependency on Mideast oil. 57% of conservatives consider the purchase of a fuel-efficient vehicle an act of patriotism. 89% of respondents agreed that the federal government should lead the way to increasing auto gas mileage to 40 miles per gallon. So, all Americans are encouraged to raise their flag for the new American Revolution, the new energy independence American dream. Support of the energy independence movement was Republican Representative Richard Pombo from California, who said the United States must wean itself from dependence on foreign oil supplies by the year 2025. Pombo supported his proposal by stating, "As pressure builds, as oil prices continue to rise, as energy costs continue to rise, members of Congress will respond to that and pass an energy bill." Pombo, speaking at an old energy industry group, outlined his plan to boost oil and gas drilling in the western United States and in offshore waters off the Gulf of Mexico and California. He also favored the plan to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to drilling. Old energy, new energy? Americans overwhelmingly prefer the new. Germany, after investing heavily in wind energy, is now moving at light speed ahead towards solar. Germany is moving into high gear to overtake and pass the Japanese as the world's leading user of the new solar energy. A German Solar Energy Association estimates that the country's solar energy generating capacity will double to 300 megawatts this year, earning billions for investors and creating 5,000 jobs. Large-scale solar is here. China's exuberant and thriving economic explosion into the fast lane of consumerism may not be sustainable and will lead to its exceeding all current world resource consumption levels in the near future. Lester Brown, director of the Earth Policy Institute, addressed the China Academy of Sciences and said, "I have a feeling we are on the edge of big changes. It could be runaway oil prices, climate change, food stocks could fall, grain prices rise, water scarcities. I sense the Chinese leadership knows how serious the problems are, but with the overriding concerns for growth of job creation, they can't give the environment the attention it deserves. At some point, things will break down. We are consuming beyond the sustainable yield of the Earth's systems." If China continues to grow for the next 20 years, their consumption of oil, 20 years from now, will be 99 million barrels a day, which would exceed the current total world output of 79 million barrels per day. In 20 years, China would consume more steel than the entire Western world. Brown encouraged the Chinese to switch to Plan B and build their nation by harnessing renewable sources of energy, including wind power, hydropower, geothermal energy, solar cells, and others. In a related story, recent studies indicate that the new energy market will grow from its current $16 billion levels to a sustainable $100 billion annual market within 10 years. That's a 20% return on your investment over the next 10 years. Now that's information we can all use. And that's the news. A few reminders. First person to email me at wildsidenews@cox.net will win an air grill blower, the pollution-free, hand-powered, fire-starting little wizard that takes your breath away from the soot-faced embarrassment of blowing on coals to get a fire started. So, the first person to email me now at wildsidenews@cox.net, that's WILDSIDENEWS, at COX.NET, with air grill blower, that's air grill blower, in the subject line, we'll get one shipped pronto. Next week, we focus on Floresta, a worldwide faith-based group that is bringing hope and life back into deforested peoples around the world. And have you ever thought of adding your voice to the voice of the earth? Well, next week, we invite you to start sending us your audio clips, your MP3s. This will become a global form of wonder. It already is. It just keeps getting better. And speaking of that, I think it's time to find out what's happened to the Pale Mail story. You may remember that last year, New York City was rocked and outraged to find longtime legends Pale Mail and his mate Lola tossed from their moorings as residents of a Fifth Avenue condo staged a sudden secret siege on the two long-term red-tailed hawks that had been thrilling people for many years. I quickly interviewed Lincoln Kareem, who has been a fixture next to the sailboat pond in Central Park with his giant telescope and video cameras for years. He spent all of his available time watching and photographing Pale Mail. This led to feature movies on PBS, books and stardom for Pale Mail and his legacy of lovers. Well, by the next week, things had ramped up. And Lincoln was arrested as thousands took to the streets to demand that Pall Mall's nest be restored. By the next week, we learned the good news, that a leading New York City architect had been hired by the penthouse to design and attach a cage of sorts to limit the various droppings from the nest. And then, the story disappeared, as locals, experts, birders, and others waited to see how Pall Mall and Lola would respond, first to the trauma, then to the new nest. Yesterday, I talked with Lincoln Kareem from the streets of New York City to hear what's happened and happening.
Hello?
Hi, Lincoln. This is Sidney Wildsmith.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. And you?
I'm doing very well.
You're out on the street right now.
I'm right in front of the nest right now.
Well, first of all, since we last talked, a lot has happened. Why don't you tell us about the status of Pall Mall and Lola now?
Well, since March 9th, Lola has been overnighting on the nest, which is an indication of eggs in the nest. And since then, they've been sitting on the eggs, both of them take turns, 24 hours a day. So, judging from past statistics, there's definitely eggs in the nest. And everything looks really well. The nest is really well built. It looks strong. We had high winds, and everything seems to be going very well.
Well, that's some extraordinarily good news. When did they first start to actually rebuild the nest?
It never stopped, really. Even when that structure was not there, they continued putting spikes in the concrete, the bare concrete. The wind kept blowing it off. So they never really stopped. It's not like they took a week off or even a day off. They never stopped. They were always there putting twigs on. And as the structure went up, they continued putting more. And right now there are at least 400 or 500 twigs inside there.
So that's probably a complete nest at this point.
It is complete.
Mm-hmm.
But he continues rebuilding it. Up to Sunday, he was taking twigs on.
Well, that's kind of the nature of maintaining your house.
Exactly.
So you're back in the park and with your telescope and your cameras. I would guess, has there been like an increase in interest in Pall Mall?
Very much so. Everyone knows about it now. Everyone is, who sees me would ask me to point it out to them. People actually came from Florida and California just to see this. Some of them made it part of their visit, but several people, came just to see this nest. It's really amazing.
What, as you watch the birds, because you watch them all the time, have there been certain events that have gotten your attention? Just, you're very so impassioned about these birds. So I'm just curious if there's been events where you just go, boy, that's special.
Well, there's nothing really spectacular, to say, but just watching Lola sit on that nest, in the rain and the snow and any sort of weather and just sit there constantly, it's really, it's beautiful to watch. It's just like you wish you can see that sort of dedication in human beings, but I personally have no examples of that. Now, Pall Mall has a son who has built a nest on the Trump Park building. Central Park South, and on Sunday it was very rainy, so I went to look at his nest, and his mate, Pall Mall Jr.'s mate, was sitting on her nest also. Now their nest is pretty shabby. It's not like this one. It's 35 floors up. It's on a piece of raw concrete with no support, and this is his fourth attempt at building that nest, and it never worked in the past. And he's doing it again this year, and she is sitting on eggs too. Now, she was sitting on that nest on Sunday, and rain was pouring down on her, and she just stayed there. She's wet. The nest is wet, and she, that is even more dedication than anything else.
Yes, yes. So, any idea of when we may have the fledges?
Well, when they would hatch.
Mm-hmm.
To begin with would be middle of April, I would say around April 15th, and fledging is going to start in the first week of June.
Wow. You've got some terrific new photographs on your the palemail.org website.
Yeah.
One with the Lola's wings, she's stretching. Is that one of your shots?
Yeah. All of the pictures on palemail.com, palemail.org, it's the same thing. All of them are mine.
Fabulous shot. That's really impressive and really, tells the story. I encourage everybody to go
that
there.
That particular shot, Palemail just brought her a rat. And sometimes she, depending on how she's feeling, I guess, she would leave him to sit on the nest and she would eat it and, you know, fly off and eat it on a tree and get some exercise. In that particular case, she decided to just stretch and eat it on the nest itself. So he did not do any nest sitting.
Well, it really appears as if this has ended up being a positive outcome.
It is very positive. I'm not just for Palemail, but for people everywhere who keeps writing in, who notices their own little Palemail story in their backyard. They would call me up and ask me what they can do. Right in New Jersey, in Edgewater, New Jersey, the power company over there, PSE&G, were knocking down parrot's nests, monk parakeets, built nests on the power lines. And the power company was just going and knocking them down, you know. And she formed her own little campaign. I wrote a couple letters and formed her own campaign to have it stopped. So now they're thinking of building, like, alternative nests for these monk parakeets and stuff. And that's just one of many stories of people getting involved in saving wildlife in their neighborhood.
Well, this story has done so much to bring the importance of the singular animals and the magnificence and magic to the world. And, Lincoln, you've played the central role in this. I give you, really, I understand you're going to defer to Palemail and Lola, but, Lincoln, I thank you. My whole body flushes when I think how about your passion about these birds and how you've played a role in
yeah, well, you know, it happened. It was almost like a reflex action. I'm very quiet. I'm not a protester. I'm really not into stuff like that. But when that happened, stuff just happened like magic. You know, it was almost not me operating there. I didn't go crazy, and all those charges, as you know, were false and augmented. That is over with, and I don't really want to harp on that. I invited those people to come over and just look at Palemail. I have no hard feelings or anything about it. But, you know, sometimes stuff happens and you just can't see it happen. You know, you do something about it. And that was what this was all about.
Well, it, as you say, it just was an event that unfolded, and the various humans played out their roles, you know, and you did what you did. But my gosh, what an amazing story, and I've been so happy that I can follow this. Lincoln, when people want to find you, where can they find you if they're in New York?
Every weekend I'll be at the Model Sailboat Pond on the west edge of it. You just come to the Model Sailboat Pond and you would not miss me. I'm there set up. Weekends in the month of May, I'm taking vacation in the month of May and the first week in June. So every day in the month of May and the first week of June, I'll be in Central Park. Whether it's raining or not, I'll be here.
Well, I encourage everybody to visit, and particularly the updated new palemail.com, palemail.org website, because you're also posting daily updates, literally almost hour by hour, minute by minute, field reviews of what they're doing.
Yeah, when I'm not here, there are other people who write me in with information, so I post it. And, you know, we just need to keep an eye on them. You never know what will happen. How the nest was destroyed, no one was looking on that day. And I just want to just look at it every day and make sure they're okay.
Well, it's an interesting, bold, new home for Palemail and Lola, and it's actually a beautiful, beautiful place now, and a great addition to the story and the saga of Palemail. Lincoln, thanks so much for all that you do and for being on the Wild Side News.
Thanks for your interest, and I'll be happy to help anytime.
Thanks, Lincoln.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A terrific update. Good luck, Palemail and Lola. But the story of Palemail ends like a Hollywood movie. That's what happens in America. But in other parts of the world, the stories don't always have such a fine resolution. Certainly, that has been the case for indigenous people and their places around the world, as globalization forces cultures to adapt to modernization. We talk with John Perkins, an economic hitman, in the segment just around the corner. This is the most important story we've covered so far. Listen, learn. It's time we knew the truth. It's coming when we return here on the Wild Side News, your Voice of the Earth radio network.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
Good guys and bad guys. It's the stuff of every great Western. According to our next guest, it's also the foundation of the Westernization process. The difference here is this movie is for real. In a moment, we hear Confessions of an Economic Hitman. What's that got to do with nature and the earth? A hell of a lot more than most people could even imagine. Best-selling author John Perkins, a confessed economic hitman, tells all when we return here on the Wild Side News.